We are the Two Mics. Welcome to yet another sparkling edition of On The Record.
Indeed.
Our ever-growing and fantastically fascinating...
That's right.
...podcast series.
That's right.
You are Mr. Parry.
That's right, and it's with our friends at Audio Boom,
it
by the way.
It is indeed. It is indeed.
Seems to be going very well.
It does seem to be going
very
well.
You know, they're big in the States, Audio Boom. Means we're big in the States. You know
we
that,
are.
Do you?
We are very big in the States. Not just the States. The United States. We're also quite big in the States of the United Arab Emirates.
Yes,
some
I know
people
that,
listening
yeah.
there as well.
But anyway, getting back to the United States, okay, I saw this amazing documentary this week about, you know, what happened in the hippie era.
The hippie era. You're quite fascinated by that, aren't you?
Well, of course I'm fascinated by it, because I was too young to be a hippie.
Yes.
I would love to have been a hippie.
You would not.
I would.
No, hippies had no drive, right? They had no ambition.
Well, hang on.
They had no interest in doing anything other than lying about having sex with each other and smoking a lot of dope.
Well, you see, you're almost right there. And what this documentary I saw about Haight-Ashbury was, it built upon all of that you've just said. And we got down to the facts of the situation. But the point is, when you're about sort of 10 or 11...
Yeah.
And you're seeing all these pictures in black and white on your television from people at, like, the Isle of Wight and in San Francisco and at, the big concert in New York
Woodstock
and all that. You're thinking, God, I wish I was a hippie, because although you have limited sexual urges when you're 10 or 11...
What?
When you see all these girls who are floating around in floating...
10 or 11?
Yeah, yeah, in floaty dresses and
long
mousy hair and all that. No. You think, God, I would love to be able to have a girlfriend who looks like her. You know what I mean?
Are you weird? Are you being weird?
Well, everybody
now?
Wants a girlfriend from the age of about 7 or 8, don't they?
No, not at all.
Of course they do.
They do not.
Rubbish.
The first kind of inkling of having a girlfriend for me was I was about 10, I think.
I just said 10.
Yeah, but I didn't know what a girlfriend was.
Yeah.
That was only because I went to school with girls.
Yes.
Right? So, I mean, the idea then was you chase them around the playground and see if you could kiss them.
Yeah.
I mean, that
yeah,
was...
well, that's all right. I will do at 10 years of age. But I mean, to kiss these beautiful women.
I wasn't looking at pictures from Woodstock. With thinking, I wish I was there.
Yeah, well, no. I wish I was there because it was all freedom and, you know, the new free generation.
Well, where did all that go wrong then? Because you couldn't be less hippie-like if you tried.
No, well, I'm about to tell you, see. So, anyway, so Haight-Ashbury, which everybody thinks was like some great encampment, you know, in San Francisco, it was in fact a road junction.
It was.
I mean, you and I know that because we've lived in America and we know that the road signs are. Go on top of each other at a right angle.
It's like Sunset and Vine, isn't it?
Exactly. Absolutely. Like this is Haight and that's Ashbury.
Yeah.
It's like Times Square. There isn't actually a Times Square, but there's roads like Broadway and
is a Times Square.
Yeah.
Because it's a very tight, it's a very small sort of what is roughly square shaped.
It is very tight, isn't it?
But it's called Times Square because it used to be where the New York Times office was.
Yes, that's right, absolutely.
And it is a little, it's like Pershing Square in New York, is an actual square.
Yes, that's right, I know. But so tiny. I mean, remember last time we were there and we were doing that work there and we pointed out that pole where the ball falls down on New Year's Eve?
Yes.
And you're still, you know, looking around, where is the square? It's not actually
Well, it's not really a
visible.
Square as we would
That's
call it.
That's what I'm saying. It's not square,
you know,
square.
I mean, if you go to, say, for example, Eaton Square, you know, it's a great big oblong, actually. That's not square
you
know,
either. Trafalgar Square and Nelson's
square.
Columns in the middle. That's
not
a square.
Really a square either.
Well, no, but it's a very large space where people can gather. In Times Square, only about 100 people could ever gather because it's so small.
Yeah, but you could go to one of those little squares around the back of Kensington High Street, for example.
Yeah.
Those are really tiny.
Yeah,
they
I know.
The little gardens
yeah,
in the middle.
But you're not getting my point. Times Square is one of the most famous squares in the world, like, you know, like Tiananmen Square, like Trafalgar
That's
Square.
That's huge, Tiananmen Square.
Tiananmen Square is massive.
Well, Red Square.
Red Square is even bigger. Now, I've never been to Tiananmen Square. If I had, I'd probably have been crushed by a tank.
Do you think you might have stood in front of one?
I wouldn't have stood in front
of
one.
Not very much. You'd have thrown somebody else in front of it. That's what you would have done.
Well, somebody might have sacrificed themselves for me. I'd have tried to put flowers down the gun barrel.
Flowers?
Yeah, that's
have
right.
Have you
been
drinking some weird drink or something over the course of the last 10 hours?
But anyway...
Why get, suddenly turned into Mr. Peace and Love?
No.
I mean, the thing about you and Haight-Ashbury, you'd be spelling it H-A-T-E.
No. No, not at all. So anyway... So they looked into, you know, what was really behind Haight-Ashbury and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So what happens is, of course, you know, flower power takes off and all that load of bollocks. It was a complete load of bollocks.
Well, it wasn't a load of bollocks, but it did get sort of sidetracked, didn't it?
It was all triggered by the song, you know, if you go to San Francisco.
Well, wasn't that already there by then?
Be sure to wear some flowers in your hair. Well, what happened is a group of about six people turned up. The usual bunch of homeless bums, you know, called themselves travellers.
Was hippie short for something, or was it a kind of an acronym?
No, hippie was really about the New World. It was about, you know...
Yeah, but it must have stood for something, surely.
Hippie stood for equality, i.e. we're all equal, and the whole idea, this is where it all comes from. So these six arrived, realised they were a load of bums, didn't want to work, had no money, so they invented... the hippie philosophy, yeah. which is everybody should share everything, yeah. right?
Well, it's yeah. like a commune philosophy.
Yeah,
but
that's
I just wondering
yeah.
if it was HIPP, what if it stood for something?
No, no, it doesn't stand for anything.
Are you absolutely sure
no,
about that?
Absolutely certain, okay. yeah. Absolutely certain. So they decided, as they didn't have any money, but lots of other people around them did, they should all share because right. they had nothing to share.
Uh-huh.
What they had was they had a load of girlfriends who they were happy to share with other people if yeah. other people would share their wealth with them.
Right.
And it became almost like a sort of amateur sort of prostitution racket. You know what I mean?
Is that right?
Yeah, this is where it all started.
Well,
yeah.
free love,
yeah.
right, was yeah. a racket, definitely.
Yeah, free love was a racket.
A lot of people went to San Francisco thinking, yeah. oh, this would be great. A
lot of shagging.
But of course, yeah, there was a lot of shagging. You yeah. can't just have free love. It doesn't work.
No, no.
You know, everybody yeah. who thinks yeah. that they can have loads of sex with loads of yeah. different people and nobody will get upset.
No.
I'm talking well, absolute bollocks.
So anyway, so they all get there, right, and then... At its absolute peak, there were only 600 hardcore hippies at yeah. Haight-Ashbury, right?
Right.
And the rest
That's
were...
quite a lot from six, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, the way it was portrayed throughout the 60s was these communes of tens of thousands yeah. of hippies, you know what I mean?
Well, do you remember
all
that,
over,
that
all
that
over
movie?
The west coast of America.
That movie that we've watched about George Harrison?
Yes.
And there's that scene where he talks about how actually he worked out that all yeah. of these people were just taking some pretty bad drugs.
They were just deadbeats.
And they were basically pretty horrible people.
Yeah, he said
that.
But
he's walking through a park in San yeah. Francisco, being
right.
followed by all these nutters, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And there's thousands of them.
That's right, yeah.
There's thousands of
yeah,
them.
Yeah, but they only went there to see George Harrison. They weren't
well,
real hippies.
Were they not genuine hippies?
No, no, no. And he said there are a bunch of deadbeats who took bad drugs and, you know, had no purpose in life. And the other point was, he said before he went there, because he'd just made a record called LAJ or something like that, uh-huh. Los Angeles J-Lay Blues or something like that,
oh, yeah.
he'd made. And he'd made it for one of his own albums, not the Beatles.
Yeah,
not
he'd already
the
left the Beatles by that stage.
No, he hadn't, because it was 67, 68. But he was already writing stuff on his own, because he didn't feel that Lennon McCartney had given him a good enough crack to write stuff for the group.
Oh, yeah, they kept knocking his songs off the song.
But anyway, he said, I decided to go down to San Francisco because I thought what I would see would be streets and streets and streets of people with little stalls, like you might see on Marylebone Road on a Sunday morning in London. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? People selling their paintings, selling their artifacts, selling their embroidery, selling these trinkets they'd made, because hippies were supposed to live off the land and all this kind of stuff. You know
well,
what I mean?
They weren't supposed to be into big business.
No,
were they?
No, but
or
they're
even
supposed
money.
To. No, they're supposed to be able to, you know, bring a bit of culture, a bit of local culture. Anyway, when he got there, he found out that, in fact, they were all unwashed, smelly deadbeats, all walking around without shoes on, filthy feet, filthy clothes. A lot of them out of their heads on very cheap
you
drugs.
You didn't realise you started this conversation by saying that you'd wish you were a hippie.
No, I'd have been a good hippie. These are bad hippies.
How would you have been a good hippie?
Well, I'd have... well, to start, I would have showered every day or washed every day and all that kind of stuff. And and the whole idea was they then decided, as they were all broke and useless and fucking idle and didn't want to do any
work.
Well,
they get the money for the drugs then?
Well, this is the point. What they did then is they decided to to convince the San Francisco Council to set up free food parks.
Oh, yeah.
So the only way they could eat without starving to death was to go to the free food parks, right?
I don't think they'd starve to death in San Francisco.
Well,
I mean, it is quite a modern city.
Yeah, yeah. No, no, but they had no money or no income or nothing. They were unemployable because this was a new generation.
They're not people who went out there, though, with some money, perhaps, and some family money.
No,
and they just kind of donated it to the cause, like they would with the Moonies.
They were. The whole idea was, you know, mustn't have any worldly goods.
Yeah.
They tried to create a society in which nobody owned anything and everything was free.
Yes.
So basically, ultimate communism.
That's actually a good society, isn't it?
No, it's not. It's a crap society.
No, no, if nothing cost anything and everybody shared everything and everybody had the same wealth and nobody took advantage of anybody, that would be fine.
No, that's crap.
That would never work.
Of course it'd never work. I don't want to be average. Do you want to be average?
Well, no, it's not a question of being average.
I mean, you are average, but I mean, you didn't really want to be average, did you?
I'm only average compared to you because you're below average.
Yeah.
You know, start that rubbish.
So anyway, so all these guys get over there and then they suddenly find that all these chicks, as they were called, that's not me being sexist.
That is a sexist term.
Well, that's what they called them. All the chicks arrived because they wanted to get into the, you know, free love, not free love, but I mean, the, you know, the free society movement, you know, take lots of drugs.
Well, the love was free as well, though, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, the shagging was de rigueur. Mm. I mean, that was it. And they all those girls went there and they were told, I mean, this is where the evil Charles Manson built his evil empire.
Yeah, he did.
By telling all these women, you know, unless you get on down your hands and knees twice a day so I can have sex with you, you are not, you know, of the right philosophy in all that kind
but
of stuff.
But you also have to remember that the atmosphere outside of the hippie arena was a very, very sort of tight up, uptight kind of, you know, very straight, you know, very run by your parents kind of society.
Well, it's,
so basically, I mean, there was not much freedom to do anything.
It couldn't have been...
If you lived in an ordinary American household and you even wanted to go and have a girlfriend or a boyfriend, you couldn't have it.
It couldn't have been done anywhere but San Francisco. No. Because if you tried to do it in the Deep South or tried to do it in, like, East Coast America or Eastern Seaboard...
Yeah.
I'm afraid you'd have been locked up.
Although Greenwich Village became a little bit of a sort of home for some of the hippies.
It certainly did, but that was only because true artists went there and they lived in houses. Yeah. They didn't live in squats and all that kind of stuff.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Some of that, wasn't it?
Well, it might be a bit of it, but I mean, what I'm saying
the
is...
The Summer of Love.
Yeah, the Summer of Love. But Greenwich Village had two things going for it. One, it was already very prosperous when people started moving in, right? And that's fine. Mm. But secondly, John Lennon endorsed Greenwich Village. He said it was the greatest place he'd ever been.
Uh-huh.
And once he went there, he never came back to Britain. Yeah. It was as simple as that. And that's why he lived in the Dakota.
But that wasn't Greenwich Village.
No, the Dakota, obviously, rather more expensive property than getting Greenwich Village. But nevertheless, on Manhattan, which he then endorsed, he said the greatest place in the world.
Mm.
But getting back to San Francisco...
Yeah.
Everybody said free love's great and this works and all that until the mayor called a press conference one day and said, okay, ladies and gentlemen, you know, it's great to have these people here from all over the world. We're going to attract them. We have a public health issue. Oh, yeah, what's that then, mayor? He says, we have an epidemic of gonorrhea and syphilis, which is sweeping through this city.
Good God.
And it is being promulgated and promoted. Yeah, promulgated and promoted by these people who have travelled from all over the world to come to our city and are now spreading disease. They are filth, you know, and all this kind of stuff.
So what do they do then? It's like locking people up.
Now they started testing them. They started testing them, and if they were, you know, negative, like they had gonorrhea, syphilis, they had to start treating them.
I mean, positive.
Positive.
You know,
yeah, that's
mix
right.
That
yeah.
up, really, because I mean, obviously, if you're negative, you're fine. If you're not negative, you're positive.
Yeah. What I meant was, if they got a negative result, which meant it was positive. If you see what
if
I mean.
They got a negative result, they were positive.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
That must be very confusing for the doctors.
No. A negative result meant you are positively full of gonorrhea or syphilis, which is not a good thing to have.
As long as you've got that straight.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
And what would happen to you then?
Well, then you were given an injection, but the problem was that they were so full of all sorts of weird drugs.
Mm.
The other thing that it happened was that because drug dealers around America knew there were like thousands of vulnerable people in San Francisco who were just off their heads, they went there and they sold them the worst sort of drugs. That's where, for the first time, ketamine, which is a drug you inject into horses,
Ketamine.
Yeah, ketamine. It's a drug you inject into horses.
It's a horse tranquilizer.
Horse tranquilizer, absolutely right. They all turned up with this and then started selling it at like, you know, $5 a tab or something like that, which in those days was an awful lot of money.
It was like LSD as well, wasn't it? That was where LSD kind of came
LSD, of course, which screwed everybody's minds. And then the other problem they got was that people on LSD were going to the Golden Gate Bridge at dawn and throwing themselves off.
Yeah.
So they had
Why dawn?
Don't know, like to see the sun coming up on the Golden Gate Bridge, you know what I mean?
Well, they'd kill yourself.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. You know, this is, we are children of God, we are children of the sunrise. We're now on the Golden Gate Bridge, which I didn't realise has walkways. I didn't know you could walk across Golden Gate
Bridge. Well, I guess all of those bridges have walkways up to a point because they need places for the maintenance workers to go.
Yes, that's right, I suppose so.
Well, you don't really
want
to walk. I once tried to walk over the Ambassador Bridge,
which
is the bridge between Detroit and Canada.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it was one of those days.
How long is that then?
Well, it was too fucking long, basically.
Yeah.
I had to turn back.
Oh, but you did start walking across it. It's
got
a walkway.
It. Well, it was one of those ridiculous situations where I got sent on a job. It was the first year I was working in America for the Star magazine.
Yes.
And what I didn't realise was, of course, nobody works over Thanksgiving. Right?
No,
they said to me, we've got this job in Detroit, but it means going to Detroit over Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Yeah, you're all right with that? And I'm like, okay, I don't mind.
Yeah, yeah.
And people were horrified. Mm, they were like, what do you mean you're going to work?
I mean, you're not going to Thanksgiving?
My girlfriend's then family were saying, well, no, we want you to come and, you know, have Thanksgiving with us. I'm like, no, going to Detroit.
With their unemployed father. Yeah.
So I remember watching, well, he wasn't unemployed at that point.
I remember
watching the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade on the TV.
With Ed Koch.
And this would have been, I was in Detroit watching
the
television.
The mayor of New York,
And it was, I was so bored because I couldn't do any work actually on the Thursday because there's nobody around.
Nobody's to ring,
So I thought, and for some reason, I don't think I had a car either. So I thought, I know, I'll go for a walk. I'll walk to Canada.
Yeah.
That'd be something to do.
Sounds
great. Of course, one I didn't realise was it's fucking freezing.
Yeah, completely
freezing.
Literally
cut you in half.
Well, that's last Thursday in November, of course, and you're in the most northern part of the United States.
I mean, this is where Lake Michigan freezes.
That's right,
You know, and there's a bridge called the Ambassador Bridge, which didn't look that long. And I started walking along it, and there was about maybe one car every 10 minutes passing me because it was the middle of Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And I thought I was going to die.
Right,
so windy and cold.
So did you ever reach the point where you didn't know whether I should push onto the other side or turn around?
Yeah, but I actually thought if I keep going, I might actually die.
Yeah.
So I just turned back.
Yeah, well, you know, it's
this is one of the stupidest things I've ever done.
Well, not stupid really, because... it's an adventure, isn't it? And life is for adventures. And that's what the hippies thought life was about, okay? But, of course, as soon as George Harrison got there, and as you quite rightly say, he said just a bunch of deadbeats, filthy, smelly people, you know, and gonorrhea and syphilis raging around the city, they closed it all down.
Yeah.
And to this day...
So they just dispersed them then?
They just, like, started doing things like knocking on doors and saying... you haven't paid the rent.
Yeah.
Knocking on doors and saying, have you got a social security number?
Right.
You know, what are you doing in our city?
Yeah.
You know, why are you claiming it? And crime, there's a crime wave across San Francisco because despite the fact it's all peace and love, this lot was so out of their head on drugs and needed morning for drugs all the time, they're beating up old women
and
taking money off them.
In order to get all the drugs, they must have become drug dealers in order to get the drugs in
absolutely.
And make it worth their while.
Absolutely.
Absolutely
shocking state of affairs. And thank goodness that the temptations that were put before those people, thank God I was only 10 at the time and I didn't get sucked in.
Well, now you've disposed of an entire cultural phenomenon of hippiedom.
Yeah.
What are you going to move on to now?
Well,
who's next for your target?
No, it's not a target or anything. What I want to tell you about is, did you know that what animal in this country do you think kills more humans than any other animals?
What animal kills more humans than any other animal? Let me think.
It's a sort of a 10 question.
Yeah,
so,
I don't think it's going to be anything like a sort of like a wolf.
Well, you'd say dog or something like that, wouldn't you?
Or
something
like
that.
Yeah, maybe a cat.
Yeah, but actually, it's the cow. The cow.
I thought of a cow.
No, cow is the biggest killer. Now, you see, this worries me a lot because, as you know, I do a lot of walking. You know, across
I've
the
never heard
downs.
Anyone have been killed by a cow?
Lots of people are killed by cows.
Really?
Lots of people are killed by cows.
I don't think I've ever read a news story of somebody being killed by a cow.
Well, that surprises me because, of course, we're voracious readers of newspapers and journals and all that.
Yeah.
About every two or three years, I read a story about a woman walking a dog who gets killed by a cow, gets trampled on.
Yeah, but it's not a regular occurrence. It
is. Well, let me read you the facts, right? Because this came from one of my agricultural journals, okay?
Cow Weekly.
Now, cows are the most dangerous animal in Britain.
Yeah.
Figures from the Health and Safety Executive, 74 people have been killed by cows between 2000 and 2015 in this country, and that's twice as many...
How many? 74?
74.
Bloody hell.
74, but that's over 15 years. 15 that's three
years,
a year. That's three.
It's not many, is it?
No, hang on. 15 into 74 is five. 5 a year. It's 5 a year.
Yeah. Well, it's not many.
So that's one about every 2 months, right?
Yeah. That's a lot.
Because all the time we read these terrible stories about dogs, you know, sometimes savage children, all that horrible stuff, you know. But do we read enough about cows? We don't. Now, you see,
surely if it was that unusual, they'd make more of it, wouldn't they, in the papers?
No. The point is, there's a conspiracy going on in the agricultural industry.
Oh, really? To be fair, if you did it the other way round, you'd have said how many cows have been killed by humans over that same period.
Yeah.
It'd be in the millions, wouldn't it?
Well, of course it would. But
so
I mean,
that's probably why. So it's still like 3 million to the humans and 74 to the cows.
No, but that's the food chain. I mean, that's...
but we're still killing them.
Yeah, but cows are bred to be killed, aren't they?
Well, you say that, but turn that to the cow.
The cow doesn't know. The cow's not that bright. And the cow just...
Well, just as well, really, isn't it?
Goes into a field, chews on its cud, and, you know, after a nice year or two of being in the field, the farmer comes along, puts him in a truck, takes him to the abattoir. The abattoir.
Well, hang on, does it depend on whether it's a dairy cow?
Yeah, well, look, obviously, it's a dairy cow. It's giving milk every day.
Well, what about
it's a useful
the ones
cow.
That are killed at birth because they're the wrong sex?
Oh, I don't know anything about that.
Well, yeah, female cows give milk, right? Male cows do not.
Yeah, but male cows, you let them grow up and then you kill them for beef.
Yeah, but a lot of them get killed before they even grow up.
That's not very nice.
Because they either, if they're good enough, they make them into veal.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Do you like the veal?
I don't eat veal on principle because it's young cows. I don't like young cows being killed.
Really?
No.
How ridiculous.
Don't mind old cows being killed because they've lived longer, but to kill a young cow is not good.
Yeah, but they kill some of them because they're no use to them as beef or milk.
Well, I said I don't
like talking
about
this. As soon as they're born. What do you mean you don't like talking
about
it?
Now then, let me tell you this, you see. This is another very interesting factor.
Yeah.
Of the 74 killed,
56
of them were in fact fucking farm workers who weren't very good at their job. You see?
Right. You know it's like the sniper the other day shot himself in the head.
Oh, that's terrible. Honestly, don't laugh about that.
Well, I'm not laughing about it.
The poor lad rested his chin on his gun barrel.
Yeah, but you got one job and you're a sniper.
No. He was told the gun had been unloaded. He gave him his gun. He was tired. He leant forward. But it was a terrible story. And the gun went off and blew his head off.
I mean, anyone who's got a brain, right? Yeah. If you're given a gun, you don't...
Hasn't got a brain now,
well,
by
no,
the way.
Well, no, that's all the law. The point is you don't lean forward onto the barrel of a gun.
You wouldn't have thought
gun.
So.
I mean, surely they teach you that.
You wouldn't have thought so, honestly.
Right.
But anyway, so 56 of the victims, farm workers...
Yes.
And a cow weighs a ton, right?
Yeah.
And most people don't realise this. And what happens is, if you don't position yourself properly around a cow...
Mm.
So, for instance, some of these have happened during milking.
Oh, yeah.
Because when you're milking a cow, if you've got old-fashioned equipment, which is your hands, rather than a machine,
well,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't think there's many people milking cows by hand.
Well, they do on small holdings. No, they do. They do. If you've only got a
little milking stool as well.
Yes.
And a milkmaid.
If you
all talk like that.
No. No. Normally speaking, they would be harridans, elderly harridans with no teeth. No, seriously.
What the hell are you thinking
about? No.
Where do you get all this?
Think of somewhere like in the Yorkshire Dales or something like that.
Where they're all old harridans with no teeth.
Well, there are a lot of them there.
That is very disgraceful.
It's not. And there's a woman there who's still running the small holding. Her husband's died.
Yeah.
He probably got knocked over by a tractor or something
like
that.
Or maybe killed by a cow.
Well, he could have been killed by a cow. And she's got to go out every day and milk
maybe
these...
fallen in one of the silos.
She's got to go out twice a day. Yeah, he might have done.
Accident-prone farmers.
By the way, that's a terrible way to die, you know. If you fall into a silo and they switch it on, then your legs get, screwed first. You know what I mean?
I don't know whether it's a silo that has a, a machine at the bottom of it, which is a sort of torture device.
No, listen,
it's
when
like
I...
the pit and the pendulum.
When I worked on the Chester Chronicle, of course, Chester is in Cheshire. Cheshire is a dairy county, for cows and all that. And we did stories sometimes from inquests where some bloke would go into the silo to clean the inside of it when it was empty.
Right.
Then some other idiot would switch it on, and all of a sudden the corn would start going through.
Right.
And the poor farm worker went through with it, and they just took his legs off before the silo jammed. But by that time he'd bled to death. It wasn't a good death.
No, I had to go and do a story once in Minnesota of a young farm worker who was doing something in a field with like a combine harvester, and chopped both his arms off.
Oh my God!
And but amazingly, he had somebody with him who took his arms, picked his arms up off the ground.
Yeah,
all right, wrapped them in some kind of cloth or something.
Yeah,
ran back to the house ran back to the farmhouse, put a load of ice in a chest.
Yeah,
put the arms in, took him to hospital. They sewed his arms back on.
Bollocks.
It's a fucking true story. You look it up.
And his arms still work?
Yeah.
I mean,
I actually said when we went over there to do the interview with him, what we want is a picture of him, with his thumbs up, thumbs up.
Yeah.
And I said, what if one comes down that way?
That's right, the other way.
No, but they fixed them.
Rubbish.
I'm not joking.
I can imagine.
I'll find you the story.
I can accept that the doctors sewed his arms back on.
They did.
I can accept that the bone might have re-knitted.
They've sewed his arms back
on. But to get all the nerve endings into place one by one so that his arms and his hands work perfectly. Utter bollocks.
Well, I don't know, but what we saw was a guy sitting at a press conference with the doctors in the hospital in Minneapolis with his arms having been sewn back on.
Yeah, well, I
mean, maybe he doesn't. Maybe they fell off later.
I very much doubt that.
Well, it's a true story. It's better than your fucking stories.
No, no, anyway, getting back to the cows, right?
Yeah.
So you will get these women who do sit on a milking stool and all that kind of stuff. But the problem is, if they go into the cow's pen because it's too cold to go out on the fields and all that, literally, if the cow shifts to the right, it's a one-ton animal, it can crush your ribs against the wall and you're dead.
Well, do you know, horses do the same.
Yeah.
Because my old grandpa was a horseman, right?
Your old grandpa?
My old grandpa, yeah.
I didn't know you had a grandpa.
Everybody's got a grandpa.
No, but I mean, you've never mentioned this person before.
Oh, sorry. Well, he must not exist then.
How old was he?
Well, he was 69 when he died. He was my father's father, right?
How old were you when he died?
I was about 11.
Do you remember him?
Yeah, of course.
I don't remember any of my grandparents.
That's because you blotted out of your childhood history. I only met one of my grandparents. You only had relatives who were nutters that came around to see you at kind of Christmas, didn't you?
Well, most
drunks and nutters.
Well, they were mostly drunks, to be honest, rather than nutters.
Funny that. No, this guy was my dad's dad, right?
Yeah. What did he do?
He had a variety of jobs. He was a police officer at one point in Glasgow.
Police officer.
For the railway, in fact. He'd been in the First World War.
Oh, so he was in, like, British Transport Police, was he?
That kind of thing,
yeah.
What, was there something wrong with that? Why are you mocking my grandpa now?
No.
He died of cancer, by the way.
Well, that's very sad,
obviously. Yeah, I can see that you're really cut up about that.
You are
a scumbag at
times.
And this is maybe why I've never mentioned him, because you're going to slag him off like you slag my father off, who's also dead.
No, go on.
Anyway, he was in the First World War, and he was in charge of one of the artillery units where he was in charge of the horses, right? Because he grew up on a farm.
In the trenches?
In the trenches. Well, the horses pulled the guns.
So was my grandfather, by the way.
Oh, okay, here we go. Are you sure your grandfather didn't sort out the fucking First World War
my
and grandfather's win it single-handedly?
My grandfather's in charge of the donkeys that pulled those gun carriages.
Well, they weren't donkeys, they were horses, right?
Well, my grandfather's in charge of a herd of donkeys.
Well, that sounds about right. You couldn't give him the horses. You're too stupid.
Ignoramus.
Right. Anyway, so he was. He'd been worked around horses all his life, right?
Right.
And he used to take me up to a place called the.
Why had he worked around horses all his life?
Well, because he'd been on a farm. He ended up in the army working with the horses.
So he wasn't from Glasgow then.
He was from Glasgow. Glasgow was quite.
Don't have
rural.
Any farms in Glasgow?
Yeah, they do. It shows how little you know. It was actually most of Glasgow was quite rural. The centre of it was a bit of an urban place, but around it, it's all hills around Glasgow.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah.
You don't know it's all.
Of course, I do.
If you actually looked out the window of the hotel you were staying, you'd see it's all hills all around. Anyway, he used to have a stick, right? Because we'd go and visit the horses. There were horses in the Lynn Park that he used to kind of look after. And he used to feed them and stuff like that and give them apples. And he used to he was an amazing guy. He used to be able to talk to them and get them to show them his teeth.
The horse whisperer.
It was a bit like that, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I was quite fascinated.
Oh, yeah, your grandfather could talk to horses.
Yeah, he could.
And they'd go,
They'd get more sense out of the horse than fucking get out of you.
And then show your grandfather their teeth.
Yeah. But here's what he had, right? He had a little stick, which was about, I would say, about a foot long.
Right.
And he used to carry it with him at all times. When he went into the horse's stable, he said, if you're not careful, they could push themselves up against you and they could crush you to death.
Right.
Because they're very big.
And you have to poke their...
And he had this stick, and if they came too near him, he just used to poke them with a stick and they'd go away.
They'd go away, sounds like a good idea.
It's a good idea, but I'm really pleased I told you about my grandfather because you're such a disgraceful individual.
No, not at all.
You'll now use
not
that
at all. You've never
kind of...
mentioned him before.
Well, you've never asked me.
Is he as mad as your father?
No, he's much less mad.
Much
but I'll tell you what he had. He never talked about the First World War. He had a shrapnel wound just above his lip.
Yeah.
And he grew a moustache over it to cover the scar.
Is the shrapnel still in his lip?
No, I don't think so.
Because people used to, you know, they used to get shrapnel in their bodies and never removed.
But he wouldn't ever talk about the First World War.
Why?
Because I think it was so horrible.
Yeah. Well, you mean being in the trenches and all that. You know, Peaky Blinders is coming back soon.
Is it?
And you know that they were
all... that's meant to be after the First World War, isn't it?
No. It is after the First World War, but one of the reasons why they turned to crime in Birmingham was because they felt so let down by their country by serving in the First World War.
And in
one of the series, they go around blowing up trains and things all over the place on behalf of Winston Churchill, right?
Yeah.
The thing is, they were all explosives operators... Mm. And amazingly to me, because I never knew it, what we used to do is in the trenches, we would dig down about 10 or 15 feet and then dig a tunnel under the German positions, put masses of explosive
and
blow them up.
Right.
Yeah. And
what a way to fight.
Exactly. They were called tunnelers and that was their job. And the problem was...
And half the time the tunnels would collapse on them, presumably.
Well, A, the tunnels might collapse, or B, the force of the explosion when they ignited it was so fierce it would blow back down the tunnel and kill them all as well, which the officers didn't care about.
Well, of course,
you know?
This year as well is the 100th anniversary of...
1918.
Armistice Day,
of course it is, yeah.
Which is going to be a sort of an amazing... It'll be incredible in November. There's nobody now left, though. When they had that recent thing in France, you know, where everybody went to commemorate the Battle of Amiens or whatever it was.
Well, that was just a week ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. And, you know, there's nobody left who fought in that battle.
No, that's right.
To talk about it.
No, that's right. And you're absolutely right. And I think I've told you this before, but I'll tell you again. This year, the 100th anniversary, 2018, Remembrance Day and Remembrance Sunday happens on the same day. So the 11th of November is a Sunday, and the Sunday closest to the 11th is always Remembrance Sunday, and the two dates coincide this year.
Amazing.
That sounds like an act of God.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, you're still talking about people being killed by cows.
Yeah, let me tell you this, right? Yeah. The amazing thing is that though bulls have a fearsome reputation with the horns and all that, goring people and all that, which they do in Spain, obviously.
Well, also, you don't go in a field with a bull. I mean, if you see a bull in a field on his own, you don't go in there.
Anyway, a bull has only killed one of those 74 people.
Right.
The rest have been killed by cows.
Okay.
Now, the thing is, what it is put down to is that having looked at the figures, because I've studied this report in my agricultural journal, most of the people who are not farm workers who've been killed by cows have been killed by cows when their calves have been about. So it's obviously...
Well, you've got to be careful when the young are around, haven't you? With all animals.
It's a protective thing.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is the great majority of civilians, as opposed to farm workers, have been killed when cars were present. And this has given, you know, vets and agriculturists over the years the distinct impression that the cows have very strong maternal instincts.
I'm
okay,
sure that's true. Yeah.
So, of the members of the public killed by cows, 17 of the 18 were dog walkers.
Uh-huh.
That makes sense.
That does. Yeah.
I've seen it happen as well. I walk, as I told you, you know, across the country all the time, across the north
across
downs, the south downs. Yeah.
Well, just wandering.
No. On a mission to keep my heart in shape, you know.
Yeah.
And you see cows, and they look at you really, really funnily.
I've been chased by cows.
Yeah, well, I'm telling you, I hate the stare of a cow.
They can be quite frightening, intimidating. They're huge beasts.
They are. When I see the stare of a cow, I leg it over the nearest hedge. You know what I mean? I'm not having a cow chasing me. So, anyway.
Well, let's hope you don't suffer that sort of end.
Now, the Health and Safety Executive has an advisory pamphlet. Long-standing advice to farmers never to put calves and their mothers in fields which are accessible to the public.
Yeah.
Farmers routinely
They
couldn't care less.
Yeah.
And their general attitude to when you're walking a dog across a field where a cow and its calf is, you take your life in your hands, in your own hands.
Oh, no, this is worse than that. If you take a dog across a farmer's field, because I used to know this from living in Wiltshire,
right,
and the house I lived in, actually, we had cows in the field immediately behind the house.
Yes.
So where my kitchen was, you could look out into this field. But sometimes you'd come down in the morning, right, put the kettle on, and there'd be a cow, like, staring in the window.
Right.
Right, literally at the window.
Yeah.
Because they were in the field right behind the house.
Yeah, but they're quite docile, aren't they, if their calves aren't with them and all that.
Cows
can look quite docile.
Unnerving. A bit unnerving.
I think cows are very unnerving. And when I get the stare from a cow, particular field I'm thinking about, down near a place called Banstead in Surrey.
Banstead,
And if I walk across there from Kingswood, you know, which is a village nearby where my sister lives, actually, I've felt very spooked sometimes.
Maybe you should get one of these pointy sticks like my grandpa.
Well, that's not a bad idea, you know, or an electric prod. I think you should get a cattle prod. And,
well, I think that's actually illegal, though.
Well, I don't think it's illegal to use it on a cattle. I think it is. I think it's illegal if you stick it up somebody's jacksie to try and torture them, you know what I mean? You know, almost certainly,
you can't carry around a fucking taser walking around Surrey.
Yeah, well...
Have you lost your mind?
No, you've got to protect yourself.
No, you cannot. I'm pretty sure it's illegal to be in possession of a taser. I think we should encourage people to do that.
No, well, I don't want to encourage people to do it, but I think it's something you've got to think about.
Okay. Mm. Well, we are the Two Mics. We'll have some more for you on the record.
Indeed.
Soon.
Everybody said free love's great and this works and all that, until the mayor called a press conference one day and said... okay, ladies and gentlemen, you know, it's great to have these people here from all over the world. We're going to attract them. We have a public health issue. Oh, yeah, what's that then, Mayor? He says, we have an epidemic of gonorrhea and syphilis, which is sweeping through this city.
Good God.
And it is being promulgated and promoted. Yeah, promulgated and promoted by these people who have travelled from all over the world to come to our city and are now spreading disease. They are filth, you know, and all this kind of stuff.
So what do they do then? It's like locking people up.
Now they started testing them. And if they were, you know, negative, like they had gonorrhea, syphilis, they had to start treating them.
I mean, positive.
Positive, yeah, that's
right.
You
don't
mix
that up, really, because, I mean, obviously, if you're negative, you're fine. If you're not negative, you're
positive. Yeah, what I meant was, if they got a negative result, which meant it was positive, if you see what
I
mean.
If they got a negative result, they were positive.
Yeah,
that must be very confusing for the doctors.
No. A negative result meant you are positively full of gonorrhea or syphilis, which is not a good thing to have.
As long as you've got that straight.
I've felt very spooked sometimes.
Maybe you should get one of these pointy sticks like my grandpa.
Well, that's not a bad idea, you know, or an electric prod. I think you should get a cattle prod. And,
well, I think that's actually illegal, though.
Well, I don't think it's illegal to use it on a cattle.
I think it is.
I think it's illegal if you stick it up somebody's jacksie to try and torture them, you know what I mean? You know, almost certainly,
you can't carry out a fucking taser walking around Surrey.
Yeah, well...
Have you lost your mind?
No, you've got to protect yourself.
No, you cannot. I'm pretty sure it's illegal to be in possession of a taser. I think we should encourage people to do that.
No, well, I don't want to encourage people to do it, but I think it's something you've got to think about. The poor farm worker went through with it, and they just took his legs off before the silo jammed. But by that time, he'd bled to death. You know, it wasn't a good death.
No.